Well, hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Has Opinions podcast. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Chris.
And this is a podcast where we talk about our opinions about certain topics. And so how's it going this week, Chris?
It's going okay. We are leaving tomorrow to fly to Maine to see some friends, which is going to be cool because we will not have a child with us.
Dun, dun, dun. No checking car seats or wipes or any of that crap.
And I mean, I'm just going to sleep and wake up like when I wake up. I don't even know what that's like.
That sounds beautiful. It just sounds beautiful. Yeah, you're going through that newborn to 5 year phase right now.
I can't believe you. I just
throw 5 years out there because it just seems to get easier, and all our kids are, you know, older, like seven to 11. So, yeah, it's rough, but you'll make it through.
Someday,
yeah. Eventually, I mean, you could make like write a little app that shows you a timer to his fifth birthday.
So grand.
But remember what I told you: you have another kid, that timer starts again. It just resets. So
that's
maybe
in
not
the plan. So that'll probably end up with a second kiddo.
Yeah. So don't start that timer just yet. But yeah, it gets easier. It gets a lot easier. Cool. So yeah, we are heading back to Austin this weekend. So for another football game.
Oh,
so
nice.
Should be fun. Different one. So we will, last weekend we went with the kids and grandparents, but we are taking neither because the kids are staying with the grandparents. So it's just me and Amanda. So we are having a kid-free weekend too. So
nice.
Yeah. So we picked a different Airbnb, which is, it's funny because it has, it's in a cool part of Austin, and it has in its part of its pictures of like the bedroom and the living room and the kitchen and all that. It has a goat and a horse, because apparently you're in the center of Austin, but you can schedule to have a horseback ride.
A scheduled horseback riding, just hanging around the property.
No. Yeah. And it's one of those, I don't know if you've seen it now, Airbnb has these top tier, or like, it's, I forget what it is, but it's like a super host. Like they have been vetted. They've been had a tour. They have a certain streak of quality reviews. Like, so these past two have been super hosts. And so we're looking for, or no, I'm sorry, last week wasn't, this week is. So we're looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But so far, yeah, I mean, we stayed at a place in July, and which was not a super host. Like they didn't tell us how to get into the place until like 30 minutes after check-in time. And then we arrived and the place had trash all over it, had like raw meat in the refrigerator. It just hadn't been cleaned. The maid like missed the day or something.
Yeah. At least the last one Airbnb we did was a super host, and you can tell the communication's like really on point. And oftentimes there's like a company somewhere in the mix instead of just people, but not always. I think the last two Airbnbs we were in were super hosts just by coincidence. One was like a company doing it, and the other one was just a person who was just really, you know, it was their business and they were taking care of business.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good designation for them to have. It makes me want to do business with them, you know? So
yeah,
after having that last experience. So I don't know. We'll see how the weekend goes and how it progresses. So, cool. So this week's episode, we wanted to talk about healthcare. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
So we're in a Slack with a friend who recently moved to Colorado, and he was chatting about getting healthcare, and it's the middle of September. So I was like, is it open enrollment, or can you just sort of sign up because you moved states? And he's like, yeah, he moved states. So he's choosing another one. But we have some opinions about healthcare. Yeah. So you're on the employee plan.
I am. So first off, in America, probably our audience is all American, but who knows? We have this enrollment period thing that opens up, what, once a year, technically? Or if you have a life event, such as having a child or something like that, or losing a job, where that's the time that you get to pick your insurance. And then every year you have the chance to change it, and often you do change it because the insurance plans that are available to you changes yearly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, this is, I'm just going to say, this is a highly, highly political subject. So you talk about it and people sort of get their dander up and put up their shields of their certain political view. But really, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about like what is it like being self-employed and employed and figuring out healthcare. And like, if our side projects, you know, take off, you wouldn't be employed, right? Like, Servers for Hackers does really well. MySQL Backups.tv, just sort of explodes in revenue. You might consider doing that full time. So how would you take care of healthcare? You have a kiddo who has a pediatrician who you're paying for his Porsche bill. What does that look like?
Yes, that is. And really, health insurance is the scariest component of that, because it would just be so much easier to just become self-employed at any time, no matter what, like, the revenue level was, even if it was a bunch less, if I didn't have to A, worry about paying for healthcare, and B, worrying about the quality of healthcare for the price I would get, because the market is a lot more expensive, I feel like, than an employment-based thing where, you know, it depends on your employer also. In my case, the employer helps pay for it, I think half of it. So it's half as expensive, and it's also a group employer plan, so the quality of insurance is a little better. And I'm not sure if it's overall cheaper per person or not, but I know it is for me personally because the company helps pay for it.
Right. My perspective on it is that I've been self-employed since 2008, and so at that point, we went through these companies don't exist anymore, obviously, because of the marketplace and the Affordable Care Act, I guess, is what started that. But in 2008, you could just go to an insurance company and they would shop you around to different insurances, sort of like you do auto insurance in the United States. And you'd pick a plan and you'd go with it and you'd be insured. We're a little bit different in that, like, we had two kiddos after leaving my job, and for both of those kiddos, we paid just cash to a birthing center, which is like, if you're familiar with like a midwife, this is a non-hospital place where you can sort of have a kid naturally. There's no medicine or anything like that. And that was like a flat $3,000 for use of that birthing center. And so for each of the boys that they were birthed there, we came home and then we continued treatment with seeing a pediatrician after that. And they were both healthy kids and didn't have any complications. So that wasn't too expensive. But I think the biggest challenge, I think, for you coming out of, you know, possibly looking at coming out of employment, is how much does this stuff cost? You know, it's all veiled behind this weird payee system where, you know, it's like, I need this procedure done and it might have this medicine associated with it. What's the cost of that? And nobody knows that.
Yeah. And the insurance market, like, I don't even know what's going to happen to it, because right now in the political climate, healthcare stuff is just kind of getting stripped away and not replaced with anything. And no one really knows.
Yeah, that's my rant currently, that I got a letter mid-August that my primary physician, who I had just gotten a physical with, they had some contract dispute with the healthcare that we have, and they were dropping them from, the doctor was not accepting that healthcare anymore because they couldn't come to an agreement on pricing. And I thought, that's fantastic for you, but I don't have open enrollment until the end of the year to switch to another plan if I want to keep you. So my only choice is to switch doctors and, you know, have this whole, like, I need to take my history over and reestablish care with somebody else. So it's a huge pain in the ass. But over the first 7 years of paying for my own health insurance, we didn't have the same type of issues. Like, we sort of paid our bill. The health insurance would go up every year, like, not by a terribly large percentage. It would go up, the monthly payment would go up, but we could just stick with our doctors and not have a lot of drama. The past 3 years the drama has increased steadily, as well as the price. Like, we chose a very low plan, because we choose to have a high deductible and a health savings plan. And we're relatively healthy people. But next year I'll probably go with a higher plan so that they don't have any contract disputes, and, you know, our doctors will want to work with this plan. So it's just getting more complicated, but it's doable, but it's just seems to be more headaches happening.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, I guess a higher administrative burden, which I don't know, isn't necessarily too bad, right? You can figure it out. But of course, it sounds like we'll be paying more for that insurance next year.
Yeah. So the one that we have, it's weird too, because like they take into account your income from the last year and they'll offer you a discount, which I'm like, why would you offer me? Just let me pay for what it's worth, you know, value. So we chose one that was, I don't know if I want to say numbers or not, but like, so it was like, it was 20% of the next plan up of the cost. Mm-hmm. So, and so I think I joked with you, like, yeah, it's the next plan up is a rent or a mortgage payment every month added on. God. And this one was significantly less, and we're okay with having high deductibles. My son had surgery during the summer and, you know, sort of a sudden emergency surgery. And that we pinged our deductible, but we had the money, so we just paid that. And I still don't have a total of what it would have been just if we would have paid it in cash. So it's just sort of annoying.
You never get that number.
No, I want to know what it is. So the other plan, would be way more a month. But we probably have a similar, if not just a little bit lower deductible, which is frustrating. So, cause we don't like, we know that going to a doctor and saying, you know, let the insurance handle everything is kind of the most expensive way to do things. We want to be able to, we want to pay stuff in cash when we can. Cause a lot of doctors, if you ask, they'll give you a lower price if you say, can I have your cash price? Cause they don't have to deal with insurance companies and they like that. But that itself is also going away. So,
oh really? What's the story there? Just like they are less willing to accept cash, you mean?
No, they do. I think I said that wrong. They do accept cash, but it's also, it's easier, not easier. You can, what I would usually tell them is run it through the insurance. And the insurance might have a negotiated price is a little bit lower. And it's usually about the same as the cash price. So I usually don't just say, give me your cash price, cause I know that's going to be better. Like it has been in the past. Sometimes that negotiated price is the same, is what the cash price would have been anyway. So I don't know how the doctors are changing their pricing, or not the doctor, but the providers are changing their pricing to do that. So, I think just where it's at, it's doable, but it's definitely frustrating to purchase your own single insurance plan for your family. But I fully expect next year to pay, like I said, like five times more for about the same type of plan, just so I can have access to the doctors that I want access to.
And then that high deductible idea. Well, I mean, that's kind of interesting, right? Because I guess that's really a risk versus reward thing where you just have to guess based on, you know, family health and what you think is going to hit next year in terms of figuring out if you want the higher deductible in return for what, the lower monthly payment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have an HSA along with our high deductible plan, which actually I'm not sure if that's going to be around anymore because we started that again back in 2008. And actually I had the HSA, which is a health savings account, which is just an account you put money in, but it has some tax advantages to it. If I put post tax money into that account and then spend it on medical expenses, so if I don't have to pay tax on the increase. So it's an investment account. So if anything over $1,000 in this account, you can put in the stock market, or you can put into something that will increase its value. You can only put $6,000 a year into it, but that's actually happens to be our deductible. So we can put $6,000 in there, and there's a checking account, but anything it acts like a checking account. But anything over $1,000, you can elect to say, okay, here, put it into this mutual fund, and then it'll grow. And then anything, if that money is spent on a medical cost, you know, a hospital stay, even like buying Band-Aids at a convenience store or something, like it's a medical cost. I'm not an accountant though, so don't take my advice and run with it. Be sure and talk to an accountant. You can use it and you won't be taxed on that part. So there's definitely look into it if it's available in wherever your state is.
What happens if you do not use that money up? Like if you only spend $3,000 that year on medical stuff? Right on. Cool. So is that outside of your health insurance, or is that kind of as part of it? Gotcha. Cool. So we have an HSA at work, and I'm not sure about the part where you can put into it and as a kind of an investment, but I do know one nice thing is that, and I didn't buy into it because we didn't have any plans for Wesley at the time, but you can actually use it for, childcare costs as well, according to, or at least the one that we have provided by, my employer, which is kind of neat. I didn't think we were going to do any of that for Wesley because Natalie's home with him and I'm also home working, but we are actually going to put him in there twice a week, after he turns one.
Cool, cool.
So that actually would have been useful to do this year because it just become like a tax-free thing I could put that money into.
Yeah, definitely. Look into it for next year if it's still available and check the rules around it because it is a good option for that cash. But I think that really the root of the episode is you and another friend in Slack had sort of expressed like, oh, healthcare, like why does it have to be this way? And it's really, I think there's some fear around leaving what you know with an employer to go into the unknown, but it's a possibility. Like I think that starting your own gig and, starting a company and doing a side project and stuff has enough risk associated with it that this sort of gets swept up into that as well. Like you're already taking a huge risk in launching something. This is just part of that that has to be managed. And so,
managing it's a good way to word it.
And it's just like any other, it's like you have to purchase home insurance in case your home is damaged, car insurance, that type of stuff. So, unfortunately it's just a volatile industry. And, like the company that I think, the last 3 years. So I had one company for the first 7 years of running my company. And then it's changed every 3 years. I've sort of gotten used to getting the letter right about now, in September or October. And they're like, we are no longer offering this plan in your state. Please plan to visit the marketplace and buy something else. And those options are shrinking and shrinking. So,
yeah, that's scary. And then it's just scary that not having insurance can bankrupt you. And then it's also scary because it feels like having the wrong insurance or being underinsured is almost as just as bad.
Yeah. But it's also, what else are you going to do?
Not moving to Canada. I mean, as much as I might say I will, it's probably not happening.
Yeah. It's just sort of a challenge of life in the United States right now. And it's something that we have to manage and just try and be as, work it from both ends, try and be as fit as you can. Try and be as financially prepared as you can. If you're in sort of have a life event, like you said, a negative life event, like a accident or something, that's going to happen whether you're fully insured or not. You just have to be prepared or just know that you can't do anything about crazy accident.
One interesting thought I had when I researched this probably a year and a half ago or something, just to see what it was like. I wanted to see if I could, through my LLC, have a group insurance policy. And the answer was basically you need three or four or more people, depending on the state. The insurance companies, in order to do a group plan, want to have like three or four different people. So their advice was like, if you're a single person in a company, if you expand to one employee and then make your wife another employee, then you might hit the minimum to do a group insurance thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I also floated the idea in Slack a few times, and I actually am really interested to see if it's totally possible. Is it just to create a company, kind of like a shell company, purely to see if you could, with, two or three other entrepreneurial people or whatever, just create a group plan. So you just buy into this company and the only money, and the company doesn't make any money. You just like do it so that you can create a group plan for ourselves.
There's got to be an example of that, either to the positive or to the negative.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to try and find that. With like, you know, somehow one of the people they're really abusing that or screwing other people over. I just don't know how that would work. You know, like, I don't know.
It's not like you want to not pay a company what they're, you know, for what the price, it's not like you want to not pay for insurance, right? You're not trying to steal something.
Right.
You're just trying to get access to something that's sort of gatekeepered.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
To companies with a certain number of employees. Well, we like being independent operators and, you know, for now at least, but still have the same insurance needs.
I like this idea. I still want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's a business model there so I can do it for other people.
If any of our listeners have experience in this or sort of have created their own insurance focused entity, let us know.
Yeah.
You call it a shell company. Of course it sounds shady. I want to create an offshore shell company to get onshore health benefits.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, that's not good. But anyway, yeah, so we have opinions. Man, I just want to leave it though with it's not a perfect situation, but don't let health insurance be something that keeps you from, you know, starting something up and, you know, doing, you know, starting a company.
Yeah, manageable risk, it sounds like.
Yes, it is. So, yeah, I think that's always the first question whenever I say I'm self-employed or we, you know, well, what do you do for insurance? And there was several years there where we would get snarky about it, where it was like, we buy it. and then the follow-up question, how? Like, with money? Like, there's so much, like, I guess there's sort of that, just that script of health insurance is through an employer, and
yes,
people have never needed to look outside, like, of it.
Sorry to talk over you. That's very much like how ingrained it is in our heads that the employer is how we get all of these things in America, either vacation time or lack thereof, or insurance. You know, we have so many of our life things tied into our employers that it's kind of crazy.
Yep. How do you get your credentialing? You go to public school. Well, there's other ways too. How do you get your insurance? How do you get this? You know, so we like alternatives, my wife and I. And so we like exploring different alternatives and seeing what's available and what fits us. And then if it fits us to, you know, have a job, we'll have a job. Yeah, but not right now. So
right on.
All right, man. So good episode number 6. If you have any questions, we don't mention this enough, but we have a site over at hasopinions.wtf, but we're also both really active on Twitter. And what's your Twitter handle?
Fideloper, FIDELOPER.
Cool. And I am Growdev, GROWDEV on Twitter. So yeah, hit us up if you have any insider stuff, any health insurance opinions of yourself, but don't get too political because neither of us are really interested in that. It just is what it is.
Do
you
not
know
want a dogma argument.
Not at all. Cool. All right, well, that's it for this week, and we will see everyone next week. Thanks.
Goodbye.